Good morning. New day, June 11th. Just keeps on going by so quickly. You know, interesting about Hebrews, when it talks about, you know, when you hear his voice. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Well, I had kind of an experience, kind of like not hardening hearts, but you know, Lisa and Randy, they gave us some strawberry plants to plant in our garden, and they've been growing. You know, we've been eating some strawberries, and there was one strawberry coming out just a couple of days ago, and it was nice. It was big. It was like a big, it was getting really red, and I was just going, oh, and, you know, I have it under the net, you know, to protect it from the birds and things like that. We had some issues with some ants, but it's not so bad now. So I was going, oh, and I was looking at it, going, oh, okay, I'll wait just a little bit longer, because I just wanted to get really ripe, right? So I went back and do work and stuff like that, and I came back out about 3 or 4 hours later. It's gone. Something ate it right off the little branch. So today, if you hear his voice, don't wait. Because your little strawberry might just be picked. And you don't want that. I learned a lesson. I had some other strawberries, but it wasn't that big one that was coming up. There was another one coming up, so I don't know what's going to happen. So, something went under the net, I think. So wonderful, wonderful to see God. Even in the dryness, you know, who was I talking to? Oh, Geraldine. Weeds grow well. Yeah, right, Geraldine. And, you know, the strawberry plants have been doing pretty well, even with the dryness, so, and some other plants, too. So it's kind of amazing how God provides even in all of that, too. So Hebrews, is the writer, you know, it's interesting. I was reading this, and I see the word elementary, you know, and I think about elementary, you know, like Sherlock Holmes, you know, what does it say to Watson? Elementary, my dear Watson. You know, don't you? He's kind of like, he's going, you fool. Don't you know? Come on, it's right in front of your face. Come on, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, that type of stuff, you know, so I'm thinking about that. Elementary school is pretty important, though. I know, I still remember my elementary school days, and you probably do, too. They're probably some of the funnest, because there's really no worries, especially when I was growing up. There was no testing going on. You took spelling tests and things like that, you know, handwriting and things like that, which I really need a lot of help with, still do. But, you know, wonderful times, running around with friends, learning your ABCs, you know, for 6 years for me. I was in elementary school. And, you know, but without knowing it, though, you're building a strong foundation of those basics, you know, how to relate to others, you know, social skills. Yes, and, you know, the education part, the ABCs, you know, very important, you know, to kind of, you know, without that, sometimes we run into what's called, I call the Superman theory, because when you don't have that foundation, you start to think that you're more than you are. And so if you think you're Superman and you get up on top of that tall building and you go, I'm Superman, jump on up, what's going to happen? Well, gravity. Oh, I didn't learn about gravity. See, I wasn't listening in school, you know, but, you know, so the foundation wasn't there for some people. They just kind of go off and do their own thing, you know, and they're met with the truth, you know, their aerodynamics, physics of aerodynamics and all that stuff come into play, and it's not a good ending. Unless you know how to build things and you spread out like one of those flying squirrels that they have there. So today, you know, it's kind of like that too. Oops, I need to turn this on. And one thing I've been noticing, I was just reading the internet, some news, and there was a quote, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about one of his sons. And he says, he's okay. He's living out his own truth. That's the 21st century gospel. Did you know that? My truth? your truth is good. You know, as we fall off the cliff together into eternity, we go, you're still good as you're going down, hitting the Superman theory, right? You just go step off and my truth, you know. But the truth is there's gravity. The truth is there's physics of aerodynamics going on, and we're not very, very aerodynamic. Our bodies aren't meant to fly, you know, except for in tubes in air, right? So this is something that we see, though. Yes, in our schools, in our workplaces, yeah, in our own families, our communities, and watch it on TV all the time. You know, this is it. My truth. I'm living out my truth. Don't step on my toes. So, you know, here, you know, what do we do with it? So there's questions today. The writer of Hebrews, you know, the Lord gave him something to write to these people. He knows these people intimately. He knows their hearts. He knows his audience well. And he knows that they have a tendency, like all of us, to slip back into things that are familiar because, you know, they became Christians, something very new, very a new paradigm. Nothing like it in all of the history of the earth, okay? And now, but with all that newness, they start to look for something that they used to do. And Judaism is right there with all the rules. You do these things, you do those things. And they call it works salvation, right? You do things to be saved. You know, that's good. For most of us, we like that, right? I mean, if I can just hammer a few nails in and build this and stuff like that, got it done. Woo! Points for me. You know, I just picked up somebody's purse and they gave it back to them with a big smile. Points! You know, all these type of things. You know, you want to work things out. You know, I go to church every day, every week. I read my Bible once in a while and things like that. But I'm a good person. I'm a good person. So, you know, it's easy to slip back into that mode. I'm going to do it myself. I'm okay. I can do this myself. And God's going, you know, with Christianity, God's saying, you can't do it yourself. You need to depend upon me. In fact, the only way you can make it is by being clothed by my son. That's the only way you can be done. You can get to be saved. And that's hard. That's hard. I can't, I really, even for my own life, I mean, being, you know, living in this century, you know, and stuff, and all the different temptations, all the, you know, entertainment and other distractions that they have going on, it's difficult. You know, but I would think it'd be even more difficult back then, you know, to have growing up, you know, under that rules and do's and don'ts and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it's just by faith. Whoa. So, you know, you can understand why they're a little wobbly and they're starting to slip away, you know, and he sees this writer sees this. And so, we got some questions as we go through this. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to get through. We might have to do a two-parter this week, if you don't mind. Would you mind if we did a two-parter? Because the time is going by. I'm going to go for a little bit, but I don't want to go. This is actually a pretty important teaching for us, and there's been questions about this a lot. So I think, you know, I don't want to rush through it and stuff. But, you know, these are things that we look at, you know, as we're into the Word. What causes a Christian to slip away? For those who fall away, is it impossible for them to be brought back to repentance, as it was talked about here? And how can a Christian move on to spiritual maturity? So those are things that we're going to be looking at today. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, yes, we just come before you rejoicing in your great love and the hope that is in Christ and your word that goes forth. And it is a sharp sword. It's double-edged and it's sharp and it needs to be sharp. because it's got to cut through all that hardness. All that hardness of our hearts to get to the good stuff, to teach us more about you, to do things that only you can do to change our lives. So I pray, Father, that you'll give us hearts, soft hearts before you, and to be able to hear your word and go forth in it, to be an encouragement, not just for ourselves, but to others around us. And may you receive all the glory and praise in it, oh, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, first of all, you got your bottle suckers. So, you know, when you first follow, you know, you hear about Jesus and you say, yeah, you there's a, you know, a repentance, you know, you know that he is God. You know, you failed in life. You're sinful. Like a Peter, you fall down and you go, oh, get away from me. I'm a sinner. But he stands there and says, come to me. And you say, okay, forgive me, you know, my sins. And he does, right? So beginning of life is kind of like, you know, you need this little sips of milk. You need to be bottle fed, right? To understand these basic elementary ABCs of following Jesus Christ. That's really what it is, and that's okay. The issue is here, is these guys most likely have been taught for quite a while about these elementary things, and there's an issue because they're not growing. And in fact, it says here, there, if you look at that verse 12 there in chapter 5, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God. Word all over again. How would you like to go back to elementary school right now? I might like that, actually. Be kind of fun. It'd be kind of weird, though, wouldn't it? See a lot of adults in elementary school. You know, got your lunch pails. Remember those great lunch pails? Oh, those were fun. You don't know that, do you? You don't know the lunch pails. You guys missed out so much. You missed out so much. Where's Nolan and Cam? Are they hiding somewhere? You missed out on so much there. So, you know, all that stuff, sharing your lunch, you know, you can actually do that. Share your lunch. And, you know, somebody's going, oh, watch out. You can't share your lunch. You got germs. We all have germs. We call them cooties, right? Cooties. I think there's one part in time that's called the cheese touch at some point. So all these things, but you know, so it'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be appropriate to see babies with a bottle, but not Nancy. Not like that. Okay. So, you know, so it'd be kind of odd. So you know, and he's going, guys, come on now. You know, we taught you this stuff, you know, what is it that's holding you back? Well, we know what it is. It's called, whoops, wow, that guy's scary. Let's get him off the screen. Sorry about that. One part is hard hearts. You know, he's been talking about these hard hearts. Don't harden your hearts. You know, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Hard hearts cause us to stop progress in our spiritual walk. And we just stay right where we are. And I know I've met a few. And you're kind of going, where are you going? You know, what's going on with you? You know, and they're just, bloop, they can't seem to get beyond that point. And also in verse 12, if you let that, says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So there's laziness involved. You know, they might be going, hey, we made it. You know, we made it. I raised my hand. I repented. I confessed my sins. I invited Jesus in my life. Got baptized. You know, I go to church. I pray sometimes. I read my Bible sometimes. I'm good. I'm good, you know, that type of thing, right? And, you know, then You know, but then you have to look at other parts. What are you doing with other parts? I was talking to my older brother yesterday, and he reminded me about that. He says, you know, you do all this, but what are you doing with those other parts, other time? What are you doing with your day-to-day stuff, moment-to-moment stuff? Right? You buy a nice big dresser drawer with a lot of drawers that just roll out nice and easy and at the store. And you're going, woo, this is nice. You don't hardly even have to touch it. It goes back in and like that. And then you buy it. You'll see how good it is, how genuine it is, you know, if it's really supposed to be very good over time, right? Over use, right? So this is an issue. Because when you get lazy, you stop. You stop going. I go to church, and then, but when you get out of church, what do you do? That's where you see where your faith is. That's where you see how genuine your faith is. Then we see who you really are. Are you truly a follower of Christ? And we'll talk more about that as well, too. So, yeah. Right there, it says there in chapter 5, verse 11, says, we have much to say about this. See, he wants to talk about deeper things about this Jesus, this being high priest in an order of Melchizedek. You know, something important. And he wants to go deeper, but he's going, I got to put on the brakes because I know you guys. You're starting to walk, you're starting to fall back a little bit. You're starting to slip away. You no longer try to understand. So they've hardened their hearts, or they just kind of go, I made it. Now I'm just kicking back. You know, a lot of these athletes, you know, they get millions and millions of dollars a year. And I watch, you know, when they get a big contract, watch what they do that next year. You know, they get a big contract. A lot of them, yes, yeah, Barry knows, you know, a lot of them, you know, unless it depends on their character, right? But a lot of them, their numbers go way down. Or they get into pedestrian, you know, to where somebody else could have did just as well, half the price or even quarter of the price. You know, so, you know, that they made it. You know, they get the attitude, I made it. I got my millions. And then, I'm not going to the batting cage as much as I used to, or I'm not going to the courts and shoot 10 hours a day. Now I'm just cutting it down to 5 because I made it. So that's what we do too. It's natural, okay? That's kind of a pilgrimage of Christian living, you know, following Christ. We do that at times, but he's just warning us about, you know, be careful. And it comes up, you know, with Ephesians here, then, you know, just brings this up to mind. So then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. See, maturity is, we want to push through that laziness, soften our hearts so we can move forward so we're not being tossed around like, you know, the wind blowing us here and there, the waves moving us here and there at every little teaching, because we're not here in the Word. We're not here in fellowship to support and pray for one another, to encourage one another, to teach one another, you know, to build one another up as the church is supposed to do. In chapter 4, it's talking about how you have your teachers and your preachers and all that coming together and helping us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, grow into maturity. And that's what we desire. Maturity. And the elementary teachings, you know, he's saying, hey, you know, coming down there in chapter 6, they're talking about, you know, therefore let us move beyond and the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance. Come on, we already talked about repentance, you know, from acts that lead to death. You know, so why are you doing that? You go to church, but why are you going back and going to the bars again and doing all this other stuff that you're not supposed to be doing anymore, you know? You know, maybe if you're going to the bars to be a witness, well, that, okay, but if you're doing it to hammer yourself and to lose yourself or to follow what you, all the old habits we had before, and then what are you doing? Where are you with this Jesus, right? Where are you when you turn on the TV or get your computer out or your phone out and start reading or doing things or watching Facebook or YouTube or whatever? What are you watching? You know, what are you spending your hours to? You know, if you don't have all that, what are you doing? You know, are you being busy in other people's business instead of praying and comforting people? You know, encouraging people. So, you know, what are we doing in that? Repentance, faith, basics, baptism. They call it cleansing rites here. You know, baptism is our cleansing rite. Yeah? Lay on of hands, you know, commissioning people, blessing them, sometimes for healing and all that, for resurrection and eternal judgment. Basics, ABCs, elementary school. Important growth period for us. You know, and he's saying, you guys, what happened to you? You're losing it. So I have to write this to remind you. You know, he's really, it's a letter of warning. Truthfully, Hebrews is a letter of warning. It's a letter of encouragement. It's a letter to the people to help them understand, really, you know, putting it all together, this, the, you know, Jesus and the Old Testament and putting all that together, because the Old Testament points to what the finished work of Christ. If you look at it, all these different things, the sacrificial system, all those things, all the prophecies, all that stuff point to Christ and his finished work. And he finishes it. And they say, well, he fulfilled the law. And for the longest time, I kept on going, well, what does that mean? What did he do, fulfilling the law? And then the other day, and I came across scripture, and it really just came part of, really, love. He loved, you know, when you look at the Ten Commandments and you look at the two greatest commandments, they're the same. The Ten Commandments are wrapped up in the two greatest commandments, correct? Life groupers? Yes? Do you remember that? What is it? Yeah. Yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. And Jesus did that perfectly. Nobody else can. He did it. And all that, he fulfilled the law. That is the law. That's God's law. The law of love. It's powerful. When he went on that cross, he showed how much love he had for the Father and obedience to that suffering and for us to stand in our place for our death. You can't tell me that's not the greatest love. It was wonderful. So we think about that part, and you come into Hebrews here, you know, and I just like the way the Message writes up, he says, you know, there in verse 1 in chapter 6, so come on. So come on. Let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of Christ. We already did this stuff, so let's move on. Let's move on. And we're going to move on next week. We'll finish this up. How's that? With the Word of God and the hope that we have in Christ. So, and if you want to finish, you know, reading, we'll probably finish up chapter 6 maybe next week too. So we'll see if I can swing that as well. But Christ. You know, one thing I want you to remember, and it's one of my wonderful scripture memory verses, is because it's easy. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And you know, we'll carry that on next week as well, that theme too. Let's pray. Father, yes. We thank you for those baby bottles, Father. those truths, those elementary truths that we need. We do need them. And some of us need them, yes, right now. And that's okay. But other of us who have heard it and heard it, Lord, may we go on to deeper things. Not forgetting those basics, but we're building on the foundation of Christ so we can go and take this and live a life that is empowered by Christ, that's following, imitating those who have gone before us and faith and trust in you that others can see, our family members, our grandchildren, our children, our brothers and sisters, our moms and dads, our grandparents, our coaches, our teachers, our next-door neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, our teammates, Father God. May we be so changed by your word and the truth of all you've done for us that other people will just see it by our day-to-day walk, our moment-to-moment walk, what we say, what we do, our attitudes, all that. Be seen as being so different than before or so different from anybody else that it sticks out and other people will desire as well. So, Lord, send us forth empowered by your Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We know this. We try to, but we can't. We fail. We slip away. We fall back. But by the power of your Holy Spirit, yes. And so through our weakness, may you show yourself powerful. But may we be faithful, growing in maturity to bring honor to your name. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.